We know there's something special about the body gathered in worship together. There's something powerful. The Holy Spirit comes, and He's not only in us, but He's among us. And He's ministering. And He wants to do in us what we cannot do ourselves. And all He asks and desires of us is a willing heart. And so, again, I share with you that the altar is always open. You don't have to wait to the end of a service for an altar call. It's always open during our times of worship and prayer. And you can come make an altar right here in the front, just between you and the Lord. And if you desire, usually brothers or sisters will gather around you and pray with you for whatever your need is. And this is a family here. And we have come to understand very, very quickly that none of us are perfect. We're all in this process of growing together. And actually, I want to talk about that in just a few minutes from the Word. And so encourage us to continue to be open to all that the Lord has for us in our times of worship and in our times in the Word. Right before we get into the Word, though, we have to dismiss our kids for Children's Church. We have it today, so I know they're excited and they're going to head out. So let's bless our kids as they go on out. Amen. And I'll ask Randy Denny to come pray over the Word as we prepare to get into the Word together.
Please pray with me. Lord God, we thank You for Pastor Tom. Lord, let's pray that You fill him with Your Spirit.
Yes.
And be with his mind, his voice, and his body, Lord God. Please fill him that Your Word would go forth, that we would be lifted up today, that Your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amen. Thank you. I am fighting a little bit of the gunk this morning in my head and my throat, and apologize for being a little bit raspy. But thank you for your prayers, and I guess I can switch to the mic here. If you haven't turned in your Bible already, please do. Galatians chapter 5, and we didn't read the scripture together, did we? We need to read that together. Galatians chapter 5, let's stand and we'll read the scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Let's begin. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Please be seated. And right before we get into the Word, I was reminded to make the announcement for the ladies' Sunday school class that's being led by Melissa. Dawson is going to also start next Sunday as well, 9 a.m., and she has asked if the ladies are participating in that, we'd bring your books for that class. So that also will start next Sunday, 9 a.m. Melissa Dawson's class, I believe they're in the book of Colossians, is that correct? Very good. So if you haven't turned already to Galatians 5, please do, as we get into the Word this morning. Also in the bulletin, or actually I guess it was handed out, an outline. Did everyone get one that wants one? If you hadn't received an outline, would you just raise your hand? One of our ushers will get one of those for you. You need one up front here. Any others? Okay, very good. So this morning, I want to talk about fruit or flesh in our lives. As we just read a few moments ago, we see a comparison, a juxtaposition between fruit and flesh. Last week, our series was a focus on keeping in step with the Spirit. From verse 25 of this same passage, we talked about the call and the need for us to keep in step with the Spirit. And I started last week, and I want to start this week as well with this question. If Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us, why do Christians struggle? Why do Christians live at times in sin and defeat? It's a question that we all have to ask and answer, because all of us have experienced this at times, have we not? We all have struggled. There are times that we have sinned. We have felt like we are defeated. And we have to ask the question, why? If Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit, why? Well, let me again go to the garden illustration, or actually a lawn illustration. Many of you have asked about our lawn because, you know, it used to be that I would preach and teach and use illustrations about our lawn and all the weeds, and I haven't done that in a long time, and that's because they're still there. But there's hope. You see, when it comes to soil, whatever you put into the soil is going to grow up out of that soil, right? And so if you have weeds, the seeds and the roots of weeds that are in your soil, then guess what? You're going to have roots that grow up into plants of the weeds. And our yard is pretty much covered with weeds. Now, there is also the beautiful illustration that God can change that in our lives, just like it could be changed in the soil around your house. My neighbor sent away for this specialty grass called zoysia. And, you know, they sent him a flat via Air Express. And if you take just a little plug of this zoysia grass and you plug it like every 12 inches apart, this stuff grows like weeds. And before you know it, it just kind of takes over the lawn. Well, it has taken over not only my neighbor's yard, but it has begun to take over my yard. And not only just the areas that are adjoining, but it's actually jumped across somehow. It's jumped across the driveway, and it's growing up all around it. So what's happened is some good seed has gone into the soil, and now it's growing some good grass, and it's pushing out the weeds. So it is in our lives with the ministry of the Holy Spirit who is within us. The Holy Spirit begins to push out of our lives the weeds, with good seed, the good seed of the Word. Thank you, David. Much appreciated. The Holy Spirit begins to push out those weeds with the good seed of the Word. And my question to us, are we fertilizing the good seed? Are we fertilizing it with prayer? And are we watering it with the water of the Word each day? Because that is how that grows in our life. And so the Holy Spirit does this in us. He is the change agent within us. He is the one that causes the fruit to grow. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ so that you have that Holy Spirit within you? Have you come to that place of asking Christ to be yours so that this Holy Spirit, this change agent, is within you? Because that is the only way the Spirit comes into your life, by embracing Christ, asking Him to forgive you, and then He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have not, I invite you, I encourage and challenge you, invite Christ into your heart. How do we do that? We have to invite Christ in sincerely, meaning with faith and trust. We have to do it personally. You can't just come and do a ritual at a church. That's not how you invite Christ into your life. He is the living Christ, and so you invite Him personally. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that You are the Son of God, risen from the dead, that You died for my sins. And then you must do it specifically. You cannot just pray a prayer, oh God, help me. That's a general prayer. God will ask you back, help you do what? I'm serious. If you pray a general prayer like that, God's going to say, help you do what? And He wants to know what you want help in. Lord Jesus, I want help because I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven and I need Your Holy Spirit to come into me so that I can overcome sin. And I want the fruit of Your Spirit to grow within me. Now that's a specific prayer. And so I invite you and I challenge you to be praying those kinds of prayers. If you haven't ever done that, start. Start. There's nothing magical about it. God is no respecter of persons. And so the main point today in this passage that I didn't get to this last week, but I turned it into a second series here. And the point is this, if you live each day in the leading of the Spirit, if you live each day in the leading of that Holy Spirit within you, then you will not live out of your flesh, this sinful nature, the part of us that is fallen. No, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit that is listed here. Last week we talked about the fact that we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit as He leads us. We use that illustration of we are marching under orders. We are staying in formation. We are listening to the voice of our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the voice of the Spirit is within us telling us how we are to follow Him. Are we doing that? But this morning I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit in you wants to grow this fruit in your life and my life. He really does. God is for us. He is not against us. God does not want our Christian life to be defeat and struggle. No, He wants to grow these things into our life so that we overcome. Amen? He wants us to overcome. He really does. If He didn't, why would He give us the Holy Spirit? He wants us to overcome. And so we look at these fruit here. And let's look at these specifically for just a minute. In verses 22 through 23, if we live out of the leading of the Spirit each day, this fruit will be born, will grow in our lives. Well, what is this fruit that He's talking about here? He's not talking about apples and bananas and peaches and pears. No. He's using fruit as an illustration, as an analogy. Some of us have some of that fruity stuff in us, don't we? But He wants it to be the fruit of His Spirit. He wants it to be these things, love, joy, peace, patience, there's a good one, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And notice what He puts last, self-control. There's a reason specifically for that, because you cannot be controlled without the Holy Spirit. And so for emphasis and for connection with the ministry of the Spirit, He makes this last. How are we doing in those fruits of the Spirit? Is our life characterized by them? Is it growing more and more in our lives? Are we looking more like Jesus every day? Or are we living out of our flesh? You see, to connect back with this whole passage in this verse, He says, the last is self-control, because that is the essence of the Christian life. It is to be controlled by the Spirit, not by our flesh. And so self-control, and understand, He doesn't mean being controlled by myself, my fallen nature. No, He means that I have the ability by the Spirit to control those fallen urges, those sinful nature urges and desires that we deal with. But if we won't do this, if we won't, you know, every day get into the Word, like our brother John was sharing, every day spending time in the Word and praying and seeking the Lord together, if we're not being led of the Spirit like this, then we will live out of our flesh. Listen, you cannot help but live out of your flesh if you are not following the leading of the Spirit. It's your default mode. It is your default mode. It is my default mode. We will live out of it because it comes natural. Very easy. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, well, you know, I just tell people like it is. You know, I don't beat around the bush and I just tell them like it is. And that's just the way I am. And if people don't like it, tough. You know what I say to that? Big deal. It's easy to just tell people like it is out of your flesh. It's easy. It comes very natural. You get very angry. You can get very cynical. You can get very impatient with people and say, you know what? You're this, this, and this. You know what? You need to straighten up. Get out of here. I mean, that doesn't take any grace. That doesn't take any power of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life to do that. Oh, it's easy to tear people down. It's easy to slam them. It's easy to say, well, you're this, you're that. What effort does that take of the Spirit? It takes no effort. And all it does is tear down. But the Spirit does not tear down. The Spirit builds up. The Spirit is encouragement, edification, building up. That's what the fruit are there for. The building up of ourselves and of one another for the glory of God and the benefit of the body. And so we will live out of our flesh if we don't follow the leading of the Spirit. Now, I didn't get time to go into this last week, so I want to take a few minutes and do this. He uses this word flesh or sinful nature, verse 19. What is that? Sometimes I hear people talk about that and they don't seem to quite have an understanding. What does that mean? He's not talking here about my physical flesh. That's why the NIV and other translations will translate it the sinful nature. The flesh or the sinful nature, and by the way, this isn't just for really bad sinners. Okay? This is for all of us. All of us have this flesh, this sinful nature within us. And it's this. It is my nature. My natural nature apart from the crucifying power of the Holy Spirit. It's how you and I live without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you notice, as we read here in this passage, I believe it is verse 24, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. You see, my sinful nature does not need to be helped. Jesus did not come and die on the cross and was raised again to just help you. That's not why he died. Jesus died on that cross and rose again, overcame the grave and death and hell and the power of Satan. He overcame that so that you and I could crucify our flesh and overcome it. He doesn't want to just help you. See, Christians aren't people who are helped. Christians are people who have died to their old self and are living out of the newness of life that the Spirit gives to you and to me. It needs to be crucified. And I come to understand that this new life within me, it's the real me. It's who God really intended me to be. Not the old me. No, God has crucified that old person with all of its sins and passions and desires. That old person is gone. The new person is this real me in Christ. Well, to help us to understand the flesh, the sinful nature within us, Paul gives us a sin sampler. You ever been to the restaurant and you get a sampler platter? You know? And a sampler platter, it comes with a little of this, and a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. And it's a sample of all the different kinds of things. Well, he gives us a sampler platter here in verses 19 through 21. These are the things that come out of our flesh, our sinful nature. And look with me at what they are. He says, verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. Now, the NIV uses this word sexual immorality. In some of the older translations, the King James and so on, it will use two different words there. And the reason for this, the NIV combines two words. First one is moikia, which primarily means adultery. And then porneia, which means fornication. Both of them encompass all unlawful sexual relations outside of marriage. In other words, when the NIV uses sexual immorality, it's talking about unlawful sexual relations outside of the marriage relationship, outside of the heterosexual relationship. Let me take just a moment and make a very clear statement and declaration. God loves everybody, but God does not condone sin, and he calls homosexuality a sin. He does not condone it. It doesn't matter how much you say God loves us all. His word is very clear. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. I don't think I gave this passage to you up there, Les. Let me read it for us. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of our God washes us, justifies us by the blood of Christ, and makes us to be new creatures. And all those things of the past are gone. And so God places that kind of sexual behavior in a category called sexual immorality, and he says this comes out of our flesh. This is one of the works of the flesh. So you have that as first. Then he goes on. He continues on with his sampler platter. He says impurity. What is that? Impurity is moral dirtiness and uncleanness, uncleanness of speech, filthy language. I'm appalled sometimes that I will look on Facebook, and I don't look on it very often. You know, maybe once a week, something like that. I just don't spend a lot of time on it. I may make a crack comment or something like that just to, you know, mix the pot, stir the pot up or something, or say happy birthday to somebody. But I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook because you can really get sucked into that. And you can end up spending a lot of time there, and it goes from one link to one video and one song. And, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that in moderation. But I find a lot of people will spend hours on Facebook, hours online, and they'll say, oh, Pastor Tom, I just don't have any time to read the Word. What's wrong with that picture? And so I look every once in a while on Facebook, and I'll see things that people post. And, you know, I will see some really filthy language, some nasty stuff that gets posted on Facebook. And I got to tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're posting stuff on Facebook that's impurity, it's nasty, it's filthy language, you know what? That is not pleasing to God. And I'm not sure why you're doing that, and I'm sure nobody here is doing that. But if you are, then I have to ask you why. What is that you're trying to state about yourself? I've seen some things stated. It's like, okay, I thought you were a Christian. What are you trying to represent about yourself in this? And so there's impurity that comes out of our flesh, filthiness, moral uncleanness, filthy language. Then he goes on, he says there's debauchery. In other words, there's lust and shamelessness. Well, there's a lot of that in our society today, isn't there? But you know what? There's a lot of that with Christians. Shameless. They're living out of their flesh, and so they're shameless about the things they're doing that God says are wrong and sinful. Then he goes on. Idolatry. Giving devotion to anything other than God. Witchcraft. Now watch this. You still with me? Say amen. The word witchcraft, the Greek word is pharmakeia, from which we get the word pharmaceuticals or pharmacy. Witchcraft in that day was primarily practiced using drugs, using particular drugs, potions, concoctions, which opened you up to the supernatural realm, opened you up to the spirit realm. And that's how witchcraft was practiced. And I think a lot of people today don't realize that when they're using drugs, and especially, you know, to get high or to, you know, have this connection outside, you're opening yourself up to a spiritual realm. And that's why in a lot of these, there becomes a foothold. There becomes a stronghold in our life. But he goes on. Hatred. Being hostile towards and wanting harm towards other people. Jealousy. You know, focusing on what other people have in comparison to me. Fits of rage. Being unable to control your anger. Selfish ambition. Putting me first at the expense of other people. Dissensions. In other words, causing issues. Causing disagreements. Factions. Causing a division where there's usually a ringleader, and you follow them. Envy, wanting what another person has. Drunkenness, drinking to excess and controlled by alcohol. Orgies and the like. You need to understand, this is not exhaustive. There's other places in the New Testament that have other lists of our sinful nature and the works of it, and this is just sort of a platter, a sampler platter. And so what Paul's trying to help us understand is through the Spirit, we're not to live this way. We are not called to work these works of the flesh, but rather We are to allow the Holy Spirit to work these things within us so that they become the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of our flesh or the works of our flesh. How are we doing? Did I touch any nerves as I'm preaching on these works here this morning? Notice he doesn't just put up the big ones, does he? He includes things like jealousy and selfish ambition and envy. They're right up there with sexual morality and idolatry, drunkenness. He puts them all together. You see, they all come out of our flesh, our fallenness, that fallen part of me. And so if I don't live each day in the leading of the Holy Spirit and keep in step with Him, then this is what my life will be characterized by, these sins of the flesh. But if I have the Spirit of God in my life, He wants me to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He wants me to be led of the Spirit and then see the fruits of the Spirit in my life. And here's the problem. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, tells us this process is built into every one of us. This process of my flesh giving birth to sin, giving birth to death. And so Randy Denny is going to read James chapter 1, 13 through 15 for us.
When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
You see the process? Evil desires come out of my flesh, and they tempt me. And then if I give in to those temptations, it gives birth to sin, which gives birth to death. In other words, death is separation from the life of God that He really wants for me. Some of us think it's strictly about physical death. It's not. It's about spiritual death. Because you can be alive here physically, but dead spiritually. And so this is what God is trying to help us to understand. These desires come out of our flesh. But He just doesn't leave it there. No, He says He wants us to overcome those. And I already said it, but a lot of these sins become strongholds in our life, don't they? A lot of times they become strongholds. What do I mean? Well, you know, it's really a spiritual issue. It's not just acts of sin, but they become a spiritual stronghold. Why? Because you do them, and you keep on doing them, and before you know it, you can't stop doing them. The enemy has grabbed a hold and has a foothold, a handhold on your life, so that you can't stop doing these things. And it's only through the power of the risen Christ that can break these strongholds in our life. And there's good news. He doesn't just leave it there. He says, no, those who have come to Christ, they have crucified the sinful nature with its desires and its passion. The good news is that the power of the risen Christ through the Spirit can break these sins of the flesh. He can bear the fruit, grow the fruit in your life and my life. But guess what? Here's what it takes on your part and my part. Lord, I'm all in. Lord, I'm all yours. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I'm all yours. I'm all in. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God that you offer yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable, your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This is what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to renew your mind that Christ has given to you, a new mind, a new spirit. Well, quickly, how do we grow in the fruit of the Spirit? How do I actually do this? What are some practical steps that I can do to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? I understand that it is a process. I understand that it is sanctification. It is the Spirit of God working in me to bring this about, to conform me to the image of Christ. But you know what? We can cooperate with God, or we can fight against Him. Here are some steps. Number one, recognize and admit the areas that I am failing in. And then ask the Spirit to change me, because He's God's change agent in you and me. I think most of us know when God is putting His finger on a particular area in our life that He wants to deal with, doesn't He? We know. He wants to deal with a particular area in our life, a particular issue that we have going on, and we know it. And we try to do everything we can to kind of get away from it, squirm away from it, get out of it, you know, blame shift, justify it, all kinds of things to kind of squirm out of His finger, the finger of His Spirit, putting His finger on our life, saying, there's an issue you need to deal with. So, to cooperate with God is to admit, Lord, I've got a problem here. And that's hard for us, isn't it? We just don't want to admit, I've got a problem. I've got an issue. Now, some of us are much more easily, much easier to admit you've got an issue. A lot of times, God is not going to allow us to grow any further until we deal with this particular issue that He's putting His finger on in their life. I've seen Christians that are stuck for years because they will not deal with the issue in their life. And God is a patient God. He's a gentleman. He will wait. He does not force us. And so, recognize it. Admit it. Say, Lord, I've got this issue here. But God, I cry out to You and I ask You to change me. You got to have a desire. You got to have a will to be changed. I understand I can't change myself, but I know the One who can. Amen? I can't change myself, but there is One who overcame hell and death and the grave, and He rose from the dead on that third day, and if He can overcome that, He can overcome anything in my life and your life. He can do it, but you got to want it. You got to want it. And He's a gentleman. He'll wait until you want it. I must cooperate. And we talked about this last week. You know, every day I've got to die to myself and I got to be in His Word. You know, it's spiritual feeding. We talked about that last week. So recognize and admit the areas and cry out to God. Number two, declare in this area that I am living and growing in the Spirit in that area. What do I mean? I'm not talking about a head game. What I'm talking about here is declare God's truth over my life, right? Verse 26 here, 24, says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. You know what? I need to declare that over my life. That's not a head game. It's a declaration of my will and saying, God, I am not my own. God, I am not these sinful desires. That is not me. I am Your child. I belong to You. And Lord, I've died to the old life. And I've crucified the flesh. And by the power of the Spirit of God in me, Lord, I'm changing. You are changing me. I got to declare it. I'm setting myself into the place where I can grow. It's kind of like the idea if I go out and I plant a garden, right? And I go out there and, you know, maybe I drop some tomato seeds in there and I drop some squash seeds over there. And I'm not much of a gardener, so what do I know? And maybe those things don't even come in seeds. Maybe they're in plants. I don't know. But you put these different things in the garden. What if you just step back and you say, oh, you know, my garden's not going to grow anything but weeds. Nothing's coming out of that garden. You know, it's useless. It's worthless. Nothing's coming out. You know, what kind of an attitude is that? If I was a plant, I wouldn't grow in your garden. No. What do? You tend to that garden. You water it. You can't take care of it. You break up the hard ground. That's what we need to do in our lives. We're saying, Lord, I'm Yours. And I don't want to stay like this. I want Your Spirit to break through these things in my life. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand, I'm preaching to myself here. There are things in my life that I want to see God break through. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be the old person that Tom was and at times falls back into. I don't want to be that. Do you? Do you want the old life? Are you satisfied with where you are and the struggles that you might be having in your life? Or do you want to overcome in your life? Then say, Jesus, please break through in my life. Declare it. Declare I'm going to live by the Spirit of God today. I'm going to follow You, Lord Jesus. Now, I know we'll fail, but get back up. Dust yourself off, ask forgiveness, and say, Lord, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. If you need a brother or sister to come alongside of you, hold you accountable, then do that. That's really the whole focus and principle and emphasis behind Celebrate Recovery, is recognizing and asking my brothers and sisters to help hold me accountable and seeing God work in my life. Romans 8:37, I am more than a conqueror than through Him who loved us. I am more than a conqueror. Number three, and we're coming into the landing here. Expect tests and fight. Expect tests to come. Let me tell you something. When you become a Christian, you get a big target on your back. When you become a Christian, there's an enemy who wants to defeat you, and he primarily wants to defeat your testimony and defeat the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God in your life and my life. And when you get a big target on your back. I've heard people say, you know what, Pastor? I became a Christian, but, you know, since I became a Christian, my life is terrible. My life is hard. You know? It used to be that I didn't even know how bad off I was. Now I know it. Well, you're right. God's in the business of cleaning us up, and it gets hard. You get tested, don't you? You can say amen. You get tested, don't you, Brother Ed? Get tested. Sometimes your car dies, right? I mean, everything seems to be going well, and all of a sudden, boom, your car dies, right? Everything seems to be going well, and boom, you lose your job. Everything seems to be going well, and boom, you get sick. I mean, there's tests in this life. And guess what? You can be a defeated person, or you can be an overcomer. Say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here, why you're allowing this, but I'm going to fight. That's what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor. And 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight, Timothy. Fight. Being a Christian is not for wimps. You're going to be a Christian, you've got to have some spiritual backbone. I've heard people say, oh, you know, Christians, you need a crutch. Well, I do. I need two of them. I need to be buoyed up in my life so that I can fight. And fight I will. I'm going to fight to be the man of God that God's called me to be. I'm going to fight to be the husband that God's called me to be. I'm going to fight to be the father that God's called me to be. I'm not perfect. I make plenty of mistakes and I have failures. But I'm going to get back up and I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to press on. And that's what God calls us to do. And then he wants to show us and lead us into deeper things. But guess what? He won't do that if you can't overcome the simple tests. Simple things. Be faithful in the small things, and then what? Ah, then he will show you bigger things. He will make you to be over bigger things. Be faithful in the small things he puts you over, and then he will give you the bigger things to be faithful over. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do in our life. Be faithful. Overcome by the Spirit of God. Our time is long gone. But I want to challenge us and encourage us in this walk of the Spirit. Each one of us, we must know the reality of the Spirit-filled life. It's the only way we overcome. You don't overcome by strength of self. You don't overcome by self-help. It is only by the Spirit of God in your life, in my life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the provision you have made for us, Lord. Not only have you forgiven us and saved us, Lord, but you have empowered us by your Holy Spirit so that we can be overcomers, Lord. I pray this for each person here, that they would know the dynamic, the reality of the Holy Spirit in them, and Lord, that they would be overcomers. Lord, for those that are starting this journey out, strengthen them. And Lord, those of us who have been in this for a while, Lord, help us not to become complacent and apathetic, but Lord, to be on fire and to encourage each one, encourage each other, Lord. We ask that you will continue to teach us what it means to be filled with your Spirit and filled with the fruit of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, that's what you desire for us. And so we pray in agreement with you and your desire. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, Amen.